have your Bibles, hold them up. Say this with me. Say, this is the Word of God. I will choose to believe it over my circumstances. I'll choose to trust it whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You heard Pastor Kevin just a moment ago talking about God building an army. I really believe that we are in the beginnings in our country as a whole, not just here, but in our country as a whole, the beginnings of what will be the next great revival in this world. We're beginning to see it. I think people are, I am sensing that people are more open to hearing about the things of God than ever before. I think in my now 20 years of pastoring, because we would see glimpses of that. Like after 9/11, there was a glimpse of people being open to hear about the gospel. After Hurricane Katrina here in South Louisiana, there was an opening of people being receptive to it because all they had been through. But this pandemic has literally touched our entire world, and it's affected our country, the United States, the greatest country in the world. It's affected us in such a negative way that I believe people are realizing that there has to be something bigger. So I believe, like I said, we're on the verge of a spiritual revival. And the church, not just New Beginnings Church, but the church as a whole, the organism called the church, must be ready to receive the world as the world begins to turn toward Jesus. And so that's the reason that I started last week talking about the series, This Is Us. Last week, I started talking about the vision and purpose of our church. Now, I do that a lot. I seem to do that a lot. I talk a lot about the vision of New Beginnings. I talk a lot about the purpose. We have the purpose on the big wall out there right before you walk into sanctuary. This is a place for a fresh start, right? That's our purpose. We are a place for a fresh start. Remember, our purpose is who we are. Our vision is what we do, all right? What do? Anybody remember? Man, y'all been listening. That's good. Reaching and teaching, that's what we do. Today, I want to transition a little bit. Every time that I teach our Get Started class, as part of that class, I talk about our 10 core values. But I got to be honest with you. I've done our core values a bit of an injustice. I talk about them during the Get Started class, and that's it. And every now and again, one of those core values will pop up in a sermon. Talk about prayer, I talk about Jesus, it'll pop up in a sermon, and I'll say, this is one of our core values, and so on. But I've never focused on talking about the core values of our church and why they're important to our church. So today, in light of the times that we're in, I thought it was important, and hopefully, why those things are important to our church, but also why these things should be important to you as a Christian, as a believer. The word value has lots of different meanings depending on context. If you look up the word value, there are literally 8 or 10 different definitions. But for this context, the word value means relative worth, merit, or importance. These 10 things are of very, very important to our church. Let me share them with you. Here are our 10 core values. The first one is Jesus. And I know when I say that sometimes in our Get Started class, well, it should be. You're a Christian church. I'll talk about that in a minute. Jesus. The second one is the application of Scripture. I believe that the Bible should be taught for life change. I don't want to just teach. I could sit here and teach you a theological lesson, give you the Greek and the Hebrew and all those things, and you'd walk out of here going, well, now I can exegete the Greek word such as. But tomorrow, when the world hits you head on, you go, I could exegete the word, that word in the Greek, but I don't know how that applies to what I'm facing today. And so I want you to be able to leave here with your guns loaded for what's coming. The third core value is growth. We believe here at New Beginnings that real followers of Jesus grow. Remember, reaching, teaching. That's what we do, right? We believe that real followers of Jesus grow. So we're going to provide opportunities for you throughout the year to grow in your faith. We believe, we also, our next core value is connect groups. You know, our church started as a connect group, six people in somebody's living room, right? And you know, the church, if you go back into Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, after Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people get saved, and then they began meeting in people's homes. The church started as a small group, or as a series of small groups, meeting in people's homes. As the church, not just this one, but as churches grow larger, they must grow smaller at the same time, because it is impossible for one man or a group of pastors to pastor a lot of people. But if we break up into smaller groups, it becomes easier to understand and know what it is you're going through, and so how we can pray and how we can help and so on. The next core value is service. When I ask a lot of times, point to the minister in the room, and used to be people would want to point to me, or they want to point to one of our pastors, and you should be pointing like this, because you're the minister in the room. We all have a calling to serve God through his church. We believe in service. We believe in relevance. I say it like this: the methods change, the message never does. The Bible, I know this is my iPad, but it's the Bible. The Bible never changes, never has, never will. The message, though, changes, or the methods by which we teach it must change depending on what we're going through. So things that we're talking about today, we may not have talked about a year ago because we weren't facing a pandemic. Right? We value unity and diversity. Let me ask you something. In your own households, do you agree about everything? No, that's impossible. And that would be odd. If my wife and I agreed about everything, that would be odd, because we're different. She's a woman, I'm a man. We're just this different in that way, but we're also different in lots of other ways, where we came from and how we grew up and stuff like that. So those things all matter. So because we don't agree about everything don't mean we can't be in unity about some things. Same thing for our church. We value people. All people. We don't care where you came from. The color of your skin is not important to us. We value people. You know why? Because people matter to God. We value the church. Listen, let me tell you something. The church, not New Beginnings, but the church is the hope of the world. Jesus left us the church. He's coming back for the church. And we value, last but not least, we value prayer. You know why? Prayer changes things. I promise you, when you're going through something, you'll be calling the church, Pastor Eddie, please pray for me. I'm going through this or I'm going through that. And we will be glad to pray for you and with you. So what you fully, I told you last week, what you fully give your heart to will become of the utmost importance to you. Value, right? I told you in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said these words: do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Today I want to kick off this portion of the series talking about the importance of values. Now, we're going to talk today about our number one value, Jesus. As Christians, being a part of a Christian church, you would think that Jesus would be a very high value in every church, right? And he usually kind of is. But let's face it, some churches put a higher value on their traditions. It's true. Some churches put a high value on their doctrine. Well, you got to know the doctrine, right? Some churches put a very high value on all sorts of other things, so that the really important things like Jesus he's right there, but he's just kind of second place, third place. Listen, Jesus is the reason the church exists. He's number one, right? He always needs to be number one, always going to be number one. Let me give you seven reasons today why we value Jesus. Now, as I go through my seven reasons, I don't want you to go, well, he didn't say this one or that one. Listen, I could literally spend 3 hours talking to you of just why we value Jesus. I'm just going to give you 7 reasons. I could give you 77 reasons. So if I leave out the one you think's really important, then you just take that up with Jesus, because this is the one he gave me to talk to you about. And I'm the pastor, and I get to do that. And I'm not taking complaints after either. I'm just telling you. Number one reason why we value Jesus is he is, listen to me, the way. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus is preparing his disciples for his departure. And I love what he says to them in John 14, 6. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, Luke wrote these words, there is salvation, here it is, in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. What's that name?
Jesus.
Thank you. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. In John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus said, I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in or through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now listen, in this world, there are literally thousands of religions. Thousands of religions. And if you talk to any one of the religious leaders of those religions, they will tell you that their religion is the way. They got the answers, and they're all wrong. In every religion in the world, bar none, the object of their faith are all dead. Everyone, except one. You see, our God died on a Friday, was put in a borrowed grave that evening, and on Sunday morning when the ladies went to go look for him, he wasn't there. He appeared to them and to over 500 people over a period of 50 days after that day that he rose from the grave. And not only is it recorded in the Bible, but it's recorded historically in Roman history that a man named Jesus went into a grave on a Friday and he wasn't there on Sunday. You understand what I'm saying? Our God still lives. He is the way, the only way. So when Oprah tells you that there are many ways to heaven, you tell Oprah, Oprah, you're sadly mistaken. And a whole bunch of other people beside Oprah. I'm not just picking on Oprah. Ooh, I could go off on. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17, it says, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Listen to me, your faith is not futile and you are no longer in your sins if you have trusted Jesus to save you. Your faith is not futile. Listen, there is only one way to heaven and his name is Jesus Christ. And here is how you access your way to heaven. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 11. This is what it says. That if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. To access the way, you must simply believe it and confess it to be true, and you are saved. Listen, Jesus is the way. Don't let anybody tell you any different. Well, this sounds good. And I promise, you talk to a Buddhist, it'll sound real good. You talk to Hindus, that'll sound real. And by the way, Hindus got like 400 gods. Pick one. You don't like that one? Pick another one. And they all wrong. The second reason that we value Jesus is he's our peacemaker. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, it says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man, Christ Jesus. Was that my, is that my Bible doing that? Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5, it says, surely he took, this is Isaiah 750 years before the birth of Jesus, prophesying about the future Messiah. He said, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Think about this. If Jesus is our peacemaker, that must mean that we were in need of some peace. You were. See, prior to Jesus, there was enmity. There was a strife between God and mankind. The strife was a disease called sin. And that sin is what kept us apart for years. As a matter of fact, if you go back into the Old Testament form of worship, what would happen every year to atone for sin is the priest would have people bring their sacrifice to the altar. And the priest would have the people lay their hands on the head of the sacrifice, the bull or the goat, and thus transfer their sin. They would cut the animal's throat, spilling its blood, because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, that in fact the law requires that everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And so they would do that, spilling its blood to forgive sins, or the word is atone or cover sins for 1 year. And every year they would have to bring another sacrifice to do it again and again and again. And they said sometimes on Passover, there would literally be hundreds of thousands of sacrifices. The bodies of those animals would be piled up, the blood running down into a trough like a river flowing from that place in the temple. And I want you to understand, you can go back to the beginning, back to the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned. And what happened? God came looking for them in the garden. Hey, Adam, where you at? Yo, Eve, where you at? And they were hiding. And he says, why are you hiding? He says, because I realized I was naked. He said, who told you were naked? He said, well, we ate from that tree. And from that moment forward, this is what God had to do. God had to kill an animal to atone for their sin. And he gave them skins to cover their nakedness. Listen, I want you to know, we've been covering our nakedness with the skins of animals, with the skins of flesh, with someone else's blood for years. But once you accept Jesus, you cover yourself with his blood. You never have to do it again. The spotless Lamb of God. In order for you to need a peacemaker, that means that there was no peace. And Jesus made peace between holy God and sinful man, paying the price in full. So now, when the devil accuses you to God, Jesus simply points out, no, you see my blood? He's covered. She's covered. They're covered. Don't. Go on to the next one. And it's not that the enemy's going to stop. He'll continue. Because what he'll do is he can't convince God that you're uncovered, but he'll try to convince you you're not covered. Don't ever buy into that lie. Remember, Jesus is your peacemaker. The third reason we value Jesus is he's our healer. In Psalm 30, verse 2, it says, Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. The word healed in the Hebrew is the word Rapha. It's one of the names of God in the Old Testament. Jehovah, God, and they would add things to it like Jehovah Jireh, which means God our provider, or Jehovah Rapha, God our healer. And so in this case, he would be, Lord my God, I call to you and you heal me. This is Jehovah Rapha, right? One of the names of God. But I want you to know what happens is, and the reason I believe we don't always receive the healing that we're promised is because we attack it like this. We say, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals us. Really not the case. He's not the Lord who heals us. Healing is part of the name of God. It's the Lord who is healing. So when we say Jehovah Rapha, what we're saying is he is the God who is healing. Part of the nature and character of God or Jesus is that he's our healer. The problem is that, quite frankly, most of us don't believe that to be true. And so we don't experience his healing over us. Now here's a question, how are we healed? Well, here are the three areas that you're healed in. You're healed emotionally, you're healed physically, and you're healed spiritually. So the first thing Jesus did by healing us was provide healing between our relationship with the Father and sinful man, right? The second way is he provided for us the ability to be healed physically and emotionally. But here's the trigger or the activator. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 22, it says, Jesus speaking, he said this, if you believe, you'll receive whatever you've asked for in prayer. The problem is we don't always believe it. We like to think we believe it. I believe in healing. And so I've had people pray, you know, we pray for people who are sick and we pray and we give it a, you know, we give it a go, right? I'm going to pray that prayer. But on the inside, you know, you can, sometimes I've been in prayer meetings with people praying for somebody and I can sense the doubt in the room. One day I was, many years ago, I was in a prayer meeting, it was a worship thing, and it was a lady in a wheelchair. She'd been paralyzed from a motorcycle accident for many years. And the Lord told me to pray for her. Her spinal cord severed down here, paralyzed from the waist down. At this point, for 15, 17 years or something, the Lord said, pray for her. I said, Lord, you sure? Like, 17 years she's been like that. So I went, I said, call her by name. The Lord said for me to pray for you. She said, I received that. So I rolled her up to the front, and I laid my hands on her knees, and I began to pray. Her legs have never moved on their own in all these years. And as I began to pray, believing by faith, they started moving. They started twitching. I started crying. I said, Lord, I just believe in me. And somebody else joined me in praying. And somebody else, and we prayed and we prayed. Now, she never got out the wheelchair. But I believe that the power was there for healing. Listen, and I believe that every time we pray in faith, there's power there. Do you know why? Because the healer lives in you. Turn with me, if you would, to Mark chapter 16. Golly, time is flying by. Yeah, we ain't stopping. Mark chapter 9, verse 16. This is an encounter Jesus had with a man whose son was possessed. He hears this man arguing with his disciples, and he says, what are you arguing with them about? And a man in the crowd answered, teacher, I brought you my son who's possessed by a spirit, and he's robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. You unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground, rolled around foaming at the mouth, and Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he asked. He answered, it has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. I love that statement. Here's a man literally talking to God in the flesh, and he says, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus answers the man, if you can. Now, I think that I always add my own sarcasm here because that's just how I am. I think probably Jesus looked at him like, do you know who you're talking to? Are you getting this conversation? If I can. Dude, if I want to, right? You know what I mean? Like, he could just like, I can change this whole situation, right? You know, if I can. And Jesus says these words, and I love this. Listen to it. Here they are. Everything is possible for what? One who believes. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Now help me overcome my unbelief. How many times have you set out to pray and you want to believe? There's every part of your being wants to believe, but there's just that part, that little seed of doubt that just finds a place to take root, and you don't know how to overcome it. And I think that's what this boy's father was dealing with. In the story, we learn a few things about healing. We learn, first and foremost, that a prayer prayed is not the end all to healing. Well, I prayed the prayer, but did you couple it with faith? Did you truly believe that God could do it? Were you just praying words, or were you praying to Almighty God? If your prayers are not coupled with your faith, you're praying in vain. Listen, even the most godly people can suffer with doubt. We sometimes allow the length of time that we've had something or the length of time we've dealt with something to be the determining factor on whether we'll keep it or not. How long has the boy been like this? Oh, from his youth, since he was a boy. Now, I don't know if this boy was now a teenager or was a young adult or whatever he was, but now he's had this problem for a while. It's like the guy Kevin talked about a few weeks ago, the guy who had the problem at the well, at the pool of Bethesda. He had that problem for 38 years. How long have you been like this? 38 years. Do you want to be healed? Well, yes, but, you know, I can't. Every time the water stirs, somebody beats me in, and there's all excuses, right? Don't let length of time determine whether you're going to keep a problem or not. I asked the Lord one time during a season of prayer. I was praying for healing for people and wasn't seeing results, and I was saying, God, why do some get healed and some don't? And the Lord just said to me, you got to trust me. I don't understand the answer, but I just got to learn to trust him anyway. I wish I could tell you that he said, here's the reason. And he laid it out for me, 1, 2, 3, 4. But that's not the way it is. He said, do you trust me? I said, yes, Lord, you're my healer. And I'm going to trust you anyway. What did I say in the beginning? Whether I see the results immediately or not. Fourth reason that we value Jesus is, this is a great one for me, he is unchanging. The word is immutable. He's unchanging. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In a world where things are changing, sometimes at blinding pace, isn't it comforting to know that Jesus never will? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I was in Bible college many years ago, and I'll never forget one of my professors asked, he said, your assignment for tonight is to write a 10-page paper on Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. 10 pages from this one verse. I was a little freaking out, as I usually do, immediately freak out. I go home, and as I began to open my Bible and I began to think about Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, the word began to open in front of me, and I began to write. And I don't even type fast. I'm going at it. A lot of correcting, but I'm going at it. I could have wrote 25 pages, but I stopped at 10 because that was the requirement. And it was easy because I want you to know, in a world where things are changing, in a world where this earth is changing beneath us, the people around us are changing, stuff is changing. Oh, sometimes it is mind-boggling. How about just this year alone? How many things have changed in your life? How many things have changed in our culture? How many things have changed around you that you never even dreamed of? But Jesus never will. If Jesus could heal that boy that had been suffering a long time, he can heal you. If God could use a teenager to defeat a giant with a rock, he can help you win your battle. If God could fill a bunch of empty jars for a woman who was in debt and not only just gave her enough to pay the debt, but for her to live off the rest of her life, I want you to know he can help you. He can help provide for you too. If God could fill a valley full of ditches to give water to an army who was about to die of thirst, he can fix your situation too. He did those things in the past, but I want you to know he's still capable of doing them right now. Couple your prayers with faith in Jesus and watch what he can do or will do on your behalf. Jesus doesn't change, and there is nothing in the Word of God that tells me that his miracles ever stopped. And so if you've ever been to a church where they said, well, miracles ceased after the dying of the last apostle, you should get up kindly and walk right out of that place, because that's not the truth. And who'd want to believe in a God who can't do miracles? I want to believe in something bigger than me. I don't put my faith in humans. You know why? Because you can't answer my prayers. I put my faith in Almighty God because he does. Jesus is unchanging. The fifth reason, we're getting there, almost there. Fifth reason that we value Jesus is he is all powerful. The word is omnipotent. Matthew 28, 18, Jesus said, he came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Think about this. When you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, you've just received, here it is, all authority. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him, and he says, here's what he says. He gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. The word authority, as used in Matthew 28 and in Matthew 10, is the Greek word exousia. It means power and ability. That same authority has been given to you, believer. The power and authority for whatever it is you need. And the moment you grab hold of that belief, you begin to walk a little differently. You'll walk with a confidence that you've never had before because you realize all authority is living in you. No longer will you say, well, the devil's messing with me, or I'm afraid of this, or I'm fearful of that. Because you understand that all authority has been imputed to you. And whatever, what you need to learn to do is believe it and receive it and live in it. In 1 John chapter 4, I promise you we're getting there. 1 John chapter 4, verse 2. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you've now heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. The spirit that lives in you is greater than any spirit you'll encounter on this earth. Quit walking in fear, standing in faith. Imagine this. It's like today after church, someone writes you who has the ability, writes you $1 million check, and you fold it up and you stick it in your wallet. Now, by all practical purposes, you are a millionaire. One small problem. You're not really a millionaire till you go to the bank and you say, I'd like to cash this. And the moment that exchange happens, you now become a millionaire. You see, it's like we get the power of God living in us, and we fold that check up, and we stick it in our wallet. And we forget it's there. All of a sudden, here comes the corona. Here comes I lost my job. Here comes this. Here comes that. Like, oh, my God, what am I going to do now? This is what you got to do. Cash the check. Cash the check. You got all authority living in you. Exercise it. Number 6 reason that we value Jesus is he is ever present. The word is omnipresent. Psalmist wrote in Psalm 139, verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? And where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, and darkness is as light to you. Listen, there is no place that you can go that God has not already been there. And once you have Jesus, there's no place you can go without Jesus. I've heard people say, I believe God's forgotten about me. He's abandoned me. Turn his back on me. If you're a child of God, it is impossible. God cannot turn his back on himself. King David wrote in Psalm 23, verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know why? He said, because you're with me. The greatest part of this attribute is that there's no place that he cannot be and no time can hinder him being there. You say, well, man, maybe he got tied up in a meeting. Time and space are not hindrances to God as you and I understand time and space. As a child of Almighty God, wherever he is and wherever you are, he is, and wherever you go or have been, he's already been there. His promise to never leave you exists because his ability to leave himself is not possible. John 14, verse 15, he says, if you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, again, he's preparing his disciples, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him. Here it is, for he lives with you and will be in you. Jesus teaching his disciples that he's never going to leave them and forsake them. He gives them the assurance, and that same assurance is for you and I today. And finally, last but not least, if you don't know these other things, if you don't know, if you're thinking about what is Jesus, why should I value Jesus? All you're going to need to know is this right here. He is. You can fill in the blank. He is. Revelation chapter 1 verse 8, it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and is to come, the Almighty. He is from of old. He always has been there. There's never been a day that he wasn't in it. But he also still is. And every day, no matter what the day, all day, every day, he's in it. Jesus is as present today as he was 2,000 years ago when he walked the face of the earth. And then when we have this eternal promise that he's coming back to receive his church, he loves you so much that he's going to come back to get you. Until then, he is. He is whatever you need him to be, wherever, whenever, and however you need him to be it. Because he is, there's nothing you need him to be that he can't be. He's a shoulder to cry on. He is. You need an ear to listen. He is. Need a big brother. He is. Need a friend. He is. Need a miracle. He is. Need hope. He is. We value Jesus because he is. Would you stand with me? We have values because values tell us what's important. And I hope that you understand the reason Jesus is number one value at New Beginnings Church. He's the way. He's our peacemaker. He's our healer. He's unchanging. He's all-powerful. He's ever-present, and he just is. Now, you get why we value Jesus? If you value Jesus in your life, would you just raise your hand and say, he's number one in my life? Now, if you've never prayed a prayer to receive Jesus, I'd like to invite you to just pray a prayer. It's simple. Lord, I confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. And your word says, by just that confession alone, I am saved. Thank you, Lord, for the promise of salvation. Thank you that you are the only way. You are our greatest value at New Beginnings. And I pray, God, that you'll become the greatest value of the people of New Beginnings and those watching us online, God. I pray that you become the greatest value of the country called the United States of America. I believe that one day, God, you'll be the greatest value of this entire world. You said that even darkness can't overcome you. I pray, Jesus, that as we lift you up, your word says that if you'll be lifted up from the earth, you will draw all men unto yourself. And God, we're going to continue to lift you up here at New Beginnings and all around this place. And I pray you'll draw all men unto yourself. We love you. We give you all our praise today because you're worthy. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week.